This is Rainmaker FM, the digital marketing podcast network. It's built on the Rainmaker platform, which empowers you to build your own digital marketing and sales platform. Start your free 14-day trial at chrisducker.com/Rainmaker.
This is Youpreneur FM, the official podcast of the Youpreneur Mastermind Community. A place where no entrepreneur gets left behind in their pursuit of building a business they can be proud of.
And now,
here's your host, serial entrepreneur and best-selling author, Chris Ducker.
This is Charles. I've hijacked Dad's podcast.
Well, hello and welcome to episode number 149 of Youpreneur FM. Almost at that 1.5 century milestone. And today I bring you a fantastic conversation with my very good friend and blogging veteran, Mr. Yaro Starek from entrepreneursjourney.com. Before I do that, however, two little announcements. First and foremost, I want to thank my little boy Charlie for hijacking my podcast there. 7 years old and very, very big Star Wars fan, just in case you were wondering. Surprise, surprise, huh? And the second announcement that I want to make is more of a reminder, really. Don't forget, as a listener of Youpreneur FM, you get an instant $50 off annual membership to the Youpreneur community, which continues to grow at a blistering pace here at the beginning of 2016. So if you're all about masterminding and learning from the best and surrounding yourself with people that will give you the support and the accountability that you need to really level up your business going into this year and way, way beyond, I want you to hop over to youpreneur.com/podcast for that $50 discount on annual membership. And we don't say that URL anywhere else. It's just on the show. So shh, don't tell anybody, okay? Now, onto my chat with Yaro. I know you're going to love this. Blogging is still a very, very important part of my overall business growth strategy, but it's got so much more in depth than just writing blog content. I'm writing email funnels like a man possessed, and actually just written content as a whole, I'm really zeroing in on like a sniper almost going into 2016. As you know, episode number 148 just last week with Ray Edwards, we talked all about copywriting and sales copy and that sort of type of thing. So, you know, we're really zeroing in on this right now. And this conversation with Yaro was not only really eye-opening for me in a number of ways, but it was actually a lot more high level of a discussion than I anticipated. And not that Yaro is not an intellectual guy. He is very much so. But we get pretty blue sky, you know, pretty bird's eye view on just the blogosphere as a whole and how it's changed and how social is playing. Is blogging even relevant anymore? And a whole lot more. So I know you're going to enjoy this conversation with myself and Yaro. I will not hold you up any longer. But before I do that, here's a quick reminder from Charlie as to exactly where you are right now.
You're listening to Youpreneur FM.
So Yaro, welcome to the show.
Chris, happy to be here. It's been a long time.
It has. And I will say right out of the gate here, I did a brilliant interview with you several years ago. And then
a decade ago, maybe.
It was a while back. You're right. And the bloody file got corrupted or something happened to it. I don't know. So here we are. This is the first time in public that I've interviewed you for one of my podcasts. So I'm extremely blessed and happy to have you. Thank you for coming.
Thank you for having me, Chris. You know, I'm still trying to live down some of the comments you made last time you were in Australia for Darren Rouse's Pro Blogger event. And you mentioned some weird things you did on stage because I was in the audience or something. I don't know, but it's I'm not going to go over them because it may not be, you know, safe for the ratings in iTunes for your podcast. So
yeah. I was I believe there is footage of that up on YouTube somewhere. I will let my listeners find it on their own accord. But yes, it was a fun event, actually.
Slightly inappropriate, but you know, you ran with it.
Hey man, the crowd ate it up. Come on,
they did love it.
Yeah, they did. So let's talk. I mean, obviously, you know, you're a blogging star, right? You've been doing this a long, long time. I know you've just come out again very recently, earlier on this month, with your blogging blueprint, which really was, it was kind of like the beginning of the blogging journey for a lot of people when it first came out many, many years ago. You now revamped it, 88 pages, 3 videos to accompany it, and all the rest of it. And we'll talk about that a little bit more into the show. But I mean, like, you've been doing this a long, long time. How many years have you actually been blogging now?
Well, the first blog was a typepad blog, or movable type, you might remember back in the day if you've been around a while. In 2004, that was a blog I started for my editing company I was running at the time. I was making my living, very much the sort of Tim Ferriss style. I had a business that only required a couple hours a day to keep it going. And then someone said, you need a blog to get traffic from Google to your editing company. And I was like, what's a blog? And you know, back then, no social media. There wasn't even actually a way to interact with the owner of a website besides sending them an email, right? So right. When you know, blogs came along, comments were like this huge thing. Plus the fact that it was like this magical website where you could just put one up, write some blog posts, and Google would rank you number one straight away. It was, you know, the really, really early days. So everyone was getting on board. I did that too for my editing company. It was really boring writing about editing, not the most exciting subject. But I did love writing about the entrepreneurial process I'd been on. I already had 7 years where I had this editing company. I used to have a card game website about this game called Magic the Gathering, a little e-commerce store. So I wrote about all those things on my new blog, which I started in January 2005. So I just recently, just last year, had my 10-year anniversary of blogging at the same blog I still run today, Entrepreneur's Journey.
Right. And that's how I discovered you initially. At the beginning of my blogging journey, which was in very, very late 2009. Although I didn't actually launch my first blog until January, so I'm now going into my 7th year of blogging. In fact, actually, this month, it's my birthday this month.
Oh, so, there you go. Happy birthday.
Thank you. But no, I mean, it was your blog. It was Entrepreneur's Journey. It was obviously Pro Blogger with Darren Rouse. Big Aussie contingency there. And then it was really Neil Patel and maybe one or two other bloggers that I can't even really remember because it didn't make that much impact on me. But what I did realize going into 2010 as a business owner, and obviously up to that point, all I'd use the internet for was email and watching cat videos. You know what I mean? Like literally. So
still doing the same thing, aren't we?
pretty much. And it never gets boring, ever.
No.
but I realized, though, going into 2010 that, man, I got to get on this blogging bandwagon here because this is going to change the way that I build my business. If I can touch base, if I can build real relationships with my prospective customers before they put their hand in their pocket, number one, they're probably going to end up parting with more money. And number two, because of that relationship, they're going to come back to me over and over and over again. And I saw that before I even wrote my first blog post, I realized that was going to be the way it was. And as somebody in the sales business for his entire career, I was all like, man, if I can do anything to further that relationship before I ask for the sale, whatever the sale might end up being, I'm in. And I loved it.
I'm wondering, Chris, that 2010, that change for you, was that when you decided to focus on your personal brand a whole lot more? Was that chrisducker.com, that blog that you started then?
No, it was not. That was Virtual Business Lifestyle. That was my first blog, my first podcast as well. And so it was that was the way it was for a couple of years. And it was mid-2012 where I switched everything over to Chris Ducker, and I realized that, because the funny thing was, when people talked about Virtual Business Lifestyle as a blog and a podcast, they weren't saying Virtual Business Lifestyle. They were saying Chris Ducker's blog or Chris Ducker's podcast. Right. So I put so much of my own personality in there that it just became my personal brand without even attempting to make it that way. And that's when we decided.
The same thing.
You did.
With the long hair and the weird name, you know, it's like not Entrepreneur's Journey. It's that guy with long hair named Yarrow, you know.
That's right. I remember when I first discovered you, you had these crazy curls.
Yeah. It was an era that, you know, maybe it was challenging for me, but people really liked it. I still get people emailing me. It's been, I think I've had a haircut 5 years ago.
Right.
But they still come to me and say, what happened to the hair? I followed the hair. That was what the blog was about. You know, so.
And you did videos with it and everything. I remember. Yeah, it was great.
Yeah.
So, I mean, how have you seen, I mean, you've been doing this a long time then, how have you seen this blogging landscape develop then over the last decade? What's been the biggest changes, two or three really big changes for you personally as a blogger?
Well, the obvious one is just the size of the internet. You know, that's a huge difference. It's a lot more crowded. And not only a lot more crowded, it's just way more tools. You know, it's back then when you were thinking about what theme for your blog and what plugins, we had a few that we would select from. Now we're up against thousands of choices. And that makes it difficult, you know, it makes you confused. You don't know where to go. There's too many options. It's like that paradox of choice. It's almost better when there's less in that regard. But on the flip side, the audience size is a magnitude greater as well. Like, I remember when I got my start, Darren Rouse, again, was like the kind of benchmark guy. He was from Melbourne, and he had this brand new blog. His original blog was about his church because he was a pastor before a blogger. Yeah. And he had 3,000 RSS subscribers, and that was huge. That was like, that's the number that was the top of the chain back then, right? And, you know, nowadays, we'd call that a teeny tiny little blog, and we wouldn't even be talking about RSS feeds. So there's another big change. It's now, it's how many email subscribers or how many social media followers do you have? And of course, today, you know, you get someone like, I mean, your good friend Pat comes along and starts a podcast, and suddenly a million downloads is the number we talk about.
Sure.
Or John Lee Dumas does the same thing. Or, you know, then you get someone who jumps on a webinar and you're getting, you know, 1,000 people for one session. So just the numbers have gotten so much bigger than what it was back then. But, you know, like I said, that's probably more of a good thing on one side. There's potentially way more customers you could get from that. But on the flip side, you have to be very clear on what you stand for, because you get lost in the crowd very easily today. Where back then, you could just sort of start a blog and put some content out there and see who showed up and sort of refine your message over time. I'll you know, put my hand up and say that's what I did during my first year of blogging. I didn't know where I was going. I was telling stories, and then slowly I had to refine my, you know, my USP, my unique selling proposition, and what's my positioning, what's my personal brand stand for, and more importantly, what I want to help people do. And
I was
kind of figuring that out with my blog. So today you kind of, you hopefully try and get that cemented quickly and then really build a solid presence around your message, because otherwise you just get lost in the noise, and that's, you know, that's vital.
I love the way that you mentioned there, like a solid presence around your movement, because that is what it is, I think. Like when you're looking at, you know, like you said, the size of the internet is I mean, it's infinite, isn't it? Like it's never going to stop growing, and it is what it is, and we have to accept it. But whatever we're doing, whatever message we're wanting to get out there, whoever we're wanting to serve as a collective group of people, it is a movement. We're asking them to move. We're asking them to make changes based on what we say, which is based on our experience, our expertise, or whatever the case may be. And that's what being a youpreneur is all about. It's about building a business around what you stand for, how you can help people, et cetera, et cetera. And that personal brand element is huge in there.
I actually went through this change myself a few years ago, Chris, because you know, my own brand wasn't clear enough. You know, I had to take my own advice and go, okay, I can't just be the guy who teaches how to make money blogging anymore, because everyone does that, right? You know, how many blogs teach how to make money blogging? So
right.
I had to take that common knowledge of niching down, that idea that you can go into a slice within a market. So I was still, yes, going to be a blog teacher, how to make money from a blog, but I had to refine who I helped. So back in the day, it would be anyone who wanted to start blogging. The problem with that is you get people who want to start a magazine kind of blog. So just wants to write about, you know, a subject, watches, cars, you know, travel, whatever it is, throw up content, try and build an audience and so on. Then I get people who are like, I want to sell affiliate products and, you know, I want to use my blog to do that. And back in the day, I used to cover all that. You know, it was okay because I didn't have the competition. You know, I was kind of one of the first, so it was first mover advantage. And then now it got crowded. So a few years ago, I went through this process of, okay, who do I want to help? Who am I best at helping? What do I have the best results at myself? What do I know the most about? And I thought, you know, my strength is people who have knowledge in their head and they want to package that up and sell it as digital products. And I know exactly the right type of blog posts and the right type of emails to set up to sell your knowledge. So if you're like an expert or a coach or a teacher or a trainer or an author or a speaker, probably a lot of, you know, youpreneur type people, then, you know, these are the blog posts and these are the types of content you need that leads to selling your products. And that, for me, not just was I able to be more helpful for my audience, but wow, was that helpful for me structuring my business, you know, what products I created. And it just gave me such clarity. So I've been kind of on a run with that idea for the last few years, just building up a product base, restructuring all my message to go out there with that idea rather than just generic blogging.
Isn't it funny how sometimes we don't take our own advice?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, because I mean, you're looked at as an influencer, as am I in my field. And it's funny, like people look at you as someone who's got their stuff together and, you know, oh, I'm going to follow this person, this guy, this lady, whatever it is, because they do what they do at the level that they do it at with the success that they experience. Yet here we are. Sometimes we don't follow our own advice. It's ironic.
Oh, it's everywhere though, right? How many counselors are just not good with their own spouse or their own family, right? Or social workers or therapists or so on. Or, you know, how many, you can think of any field, they're great at teaching others, but then practicing is difficult. It's like, do what I say, not what I do. It's
yeah.
Kind of ironic, but that's what it's like.
It is. You're absolutely right. So let me ask you this then, and I want to get into, and I'm loving the idea that you brought up the subject of, you know, writing specific types of emails, creating specific types of blog posts to sell digital products as influencers, as coaches, whatever it is, right? So, but before we get into that, and I do want to deep dive on that stuff, let me ask you this. How relevant do you think is blogging today? Because social has become almost its own type of blogging, right? I mean, you've got Facebook, you've got Twitter, who recently started talking about 10,000 character bloody tweets. Please don't do that.
that's just wrong.
Yeah. I mean, the direct message I kind of get, although I never use it, but I kind of get it. But I mean, you've got Snapchat for video type and
Periscope.
And, you know, Periscope. I mean, like how relevant is the good old fashioned blog in today's world, do you think?
You know, I've always been a fan of the hub and spoke model of marketing, which
yes.
Just in a nutshell, you've got your central hub, which is your identity website. So you have a blog. I mean, to me, that's is and always has been and always will be the place where you set up your hub. It's where you exist online. It's under your own domain name. It's got your content. It's got your opt-in box to get people onto your email list to sell your products, right? It's your funnel. And everything else is a spoke off of that to basically market, to reach people where they are. Because we have to acknowledge the fact that, yes, the audiences exist on Instagram or on Pinterest or on Facebook or wherever it is for our niche. So we have to go there, but we want to bring them back to the blog. So I always say, if you are just on a social media platform, then you're really running a risk of that account just being deleted. And I think we all know a story from someone who's had a great YouTube following and then woken up one morning to have all their account deleted, all their videos gone.
Oh, yeah.
I had that happen to me on Instagram. Started a brand new Instagram. We spent a month growing the following and then it got deleted. We didn't know why. They never contacted us. No way to solve the problem. Had to start again.
Wow. So, I didn't even know you went through that. You have no idea why that happened?
No, I mean, we got some answers from people who had some ideas,
right.
But it's things like everyone's guessing. It's, you know, like any big company, Google, you know, Facebook, something gets deleted. It's very unlikely, unless you're a superstar, they're going to actually tell you why. It's often a robot, you know, it's some kind of bot that says, we don't like the fact that you posted something from Australia and from Canada. Like I had my assistant in Australia do it while I was doing it from Canada. And that's two different IP addresses, two different countries. Something dodgy is going on. Delete. Right.
You know, you cross the flag.
So who knows? But the answer is, you know, you've got to own your own website, your own domain name, and your own email list. Like, number one, the email list. Like, even if you lose your blog and your website, if you've got your list, you can start back up because you can contact directly your people. But I also think it's important to acknowledge that, let's take a very popular method of marketing right now, Facebook advertising.
Mm-hmm.
People who do Facebook advertising, more and more they're saying you need to lead with content, right? So what they're doing is promoting a blog post. You know, they're actually using the advertising system to release sponsored content. That's the first blog post in perhaps a series of blog posts that then leads to the opt-in. because they're finding out that going direct to a landing page, direct to an opt-in, it's not converting, or you know, there's no sense of building trust and delivering a result before asking for people to do something.
Sure.
So they're starting with blog posts, they're starting with podcasts, they're starting with videos. And where are all those mediums being hosted? On their blog. They're embedding the YouTube videos on the blog, then sharing it on Facebook. I'm pretty sure this podcast we're recording now, where's it going to go?
It'll go up to the audio server, first of all, then up to iTunes.
Right. But where's it hosted?
It'll be on christucker.com, as always.
Your blog.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah.
So the blog really is still the place where, you know, even if it's not, even if blogging, this is what turns people away. I don't want to be a blogger. But even if you're not a blogger, it's still the place where you bring people back and where you can seed content that you might use. You might spend all day doing YouTube videos, but you're still going to publish them on your own blog.
Mm.
Same with the podcaster. Even with Pinterest, you know, you're going to put your pictures on your blog and share them on Pinterest. But, you know, the blog is the end and the beginning of it all.
Yeah.
So that's kind of my answer to my long-winded answer to your question.
Well, that's fine. And long-winded is sometimes, you know, full of gold, and that was. So that I'm fine with that. But, I mean, like, it's interesting because I've seen people like Mike Stelzner very recently. And I follow Mike on Snapchat, and he does some great snaps. And he was talking about how he was updating the Social Media Examiner about page, or the bio, where he removed the word blog, and he's now calling it a media company. I've seen people like Jay Beer, and both these gentlemen have been on this show before, where, you know, Jay talks about becoming the media company and not just being a content creator. And when I look at the stuff that I do for my brand, I blog, I podcast, I do video, I do infographics, you know, I do social, and that's a media company. I mean, are we not all becoming media companies per se with a personal brand attached to it?
Right. And I think the argument there is we're getting caught up in terminology more than anything, which is probably unnecessary.
Sure.
At the end of the day, your audience is going to define what you are to them, whether you're a blogger or I don't think they're going to call you a media company.
That's a very good point. You're absolutely right.
So they'll probably call you Chris or Yarrow or you know, Michael Stelzner. That's what how they get to know whoever the author is or the person. So the personal brand is huge. I think that, to me, is what the internet's all about. It's no longer companies. It's the people behind the company or the person behind the company. But I understand there's a need. For example, one of my very, very early people I worked with on their blog, his name was Al Boris. He lives in Australia. He started a car blog called Car Advice, and it went huge. In fact, hush, hush, they're about to float on the Australian stock market. That's sort of how huge it's become.
Wow.
And they also had a big discussion. I remember a couple of years ago when Al Boris was telling me about this, they said they don't want to call it a blog anymore. They want to call it, you know, a car site, or, you know, a media, basically an independent car news site. And it was such a silly thing because, you know, Al Boris was attached to, I started as a blog. People like to read blogs. They don't want to, you know, read a big corporate no face website. The reason why we succeed is because of the personal touch. So I think it's more a case of, again, what do your people connect with? What does your audience connect with? And if you want to, for the sake of corporate structure, you know, internally within your company, if you need to call yourself a media company to be serious about it, go for it, you know, but whatever works for you. But at the end of the day, we're all just publishing content and hopefully connecting with people.
It's a really good point, though, that you make. Like, your audience will ultimately define what you are to them in their minds. And I mean, the aforementioned Jay Beer there, he mentioned to me one time we were chatting over dinner, and I've credited with this him with this several times when I've mentioned it on podcast interviews and even in my own blog post and stuff, where his mission is to become someone's favorite. It doesn't matter what that favorite is, but see, be somebody's favorite blogger or favorite YouTuber or favorite Instagram person or whatever the case may be. So I think it's all roundabout. And you're right, it's terminology at the end of the day, isn't it?
You know, it's amazing. It hasn't changed either. 10 years ago, before blogging, I was studying internet marketers, right? And they were talking about email marketing and teleconferences. That was kind of like the thing back then. It's funny, we're doing webinars and email marketing now, so it hasn't changed much. But I remember very clearly one of the comments was, your job is to make friends with your subscriber. They need to see you as a trusted friend. Mm-hmm. And it really was a friendship that is like a real world friendship. They look forward to your emails like they're getting one from an actual friend. Mm. And that to me really hit home how different this form of marketing was to anything I'd seen before. Because before the internet, what did we do? We had billboards, TV ads, radio ads. None of that was personal. And now it's all reality TV and bloggers and social media. It's all personal. So it's an amazing shift that's happened in the last sort of 10, 15, 20 years.
You're absolutely right. I mean, do we use this now then? Do we? And I talk about this P2P or this people-to-people connection all the time. And the Upreneur listeners know about that, obviously. I mean, do we now focus in on this personal element more when we're writing these blog posts, when we're creating these email funnels? Should this be front and center?
Yes.
Good. Simple answer. So yes. Tell us. Good. Well, that's great. So tell us, how do we do it?
Okay. Well, you know, it's funny you say about the personal aspect. I teach people right now in all my training. It's sort of the foundational overarching concept. I call it the blog sales funnel. And it's simply a matter of bringing people to your blog, getting them to sign up for what we always have called a lead magnet. I usually actually do a free email course. And that email course is actually made up of a series of blog posts. So you're basically saying, sign up for an email course. I'll send you an email. The email is just a link to a blog post. The strategy comes in because you're sending them a sequence of very specific types of content. So those blog posts are designed to come in a certain order. Now, the first one I tell every person, no matter what subject they cover, what industry they're in, what niche they're doing, is to write a fairly substantial life story post, right? And this is something that hasn't changed. Even my very first blog training way back in 2007, I still said you need this on your blog. An about page is not enough. You need a really detailed story that goes into your background. So it's, how did you first discover this subject that you're so interested in? How did you learn about it? How did you get better at it? What was the trials and tribulations you went through? And why should the reader trust you in this subject? It's the story that validates you as the expert. And if they've never heard of you before, this is the first thing they need to go through when they come to your blog or join an email sequence or both, ideally. So that to me is, you know, step one. Then it's obviously a series of information that follows it. I like to, you know, you have teaching content, you have case study interviews, you have this types of content that helps to build the trust necessary to get people saying, I really want to buy whatever it is you're selling. Basically, I want to take the next step with you. So that's what I teach. And it's all story driven and individual personal story driven. Even if it's, you know, not your story, when you're telling a case study story, one of your clients or one of your customers, or even just a story from, you know, the real world, it's the individual, it's that hero's journey going from nothing to success, or going from I'm suffering from a disease or being overweight or migraine headaches, or I want to, you know, get out of full-time employment, or I want to learn how to, you know, race cars, whatever it is you teach. There's this story from not knowing how to do that to learning how to do that. And that's what makes, I love it. That's what makes content creation so satisfying. I love weaving the stories into the blog posts.
I also enjoy it as well. I mean, you're getting me thinking about updating my about page literally right now. It was actually a combination of Mike talking about updating kind of the wording that I was like, you know what? I have not looked at my about page for probably 2 years, which is
such
bad.
A beautiful page too,
I know,
right?
It's really bad. I'm going to put that on my schedule for this month for sure. So, okay. So, I mean, let's say that we have, and this will fall into the lap of many Upreneurs listening in. Let's say we have an expertise. We've got X amount of years under our belt. We've got a blog. We're building up our hub. How do we get to the point of going from content creator to creating our first training course, per se? We'll use that terminology for now. People call it whatever they want to call it, but our first training course, per se, and then getting it into a funnel. I'm not necessarily talking about the launch, because this is something we want to try and have be evergreen, right? And work sort of behind the background. How can we make sure that really takes off for us from an evergreen kind of income-generating procedure?
Well, you know, the first step is really making sure you're very, very clear on what the problem is. And often when it comes to coming up with a funnel like this, I actually believe in slicing only a part of the problem, because we're building what I called before a blog sales funnel that's made up of multiple products. And even if you have, for example, you know, a flagship course or a membership site, which is very popular nowadays, there's still micro needs in your community, right? Some people just want to know how to. I actually love using the example. I've had, ironically, three people over the years all be experts at treating acne, so skincare. And there's often sort of three core elements of that. There's your diet, there's the skincare regime you go through, and then there's hormones as well. And I know too much about this. It's women's acne, so it's not usually the hormones for men. But that's the sort of three elements that get the most blame for the skin problems. And some person might just want to know about just the skincare regime or just the diet or just the hormones, because they've, you know, done the research to figure out their problem is hormonal. I just need the hormonal research. So you have, you know, some sort of front end first level product. Then maybe later on, there's the flagship course and the support community and the things that they need for, you know, going deeper. So I actually recommend, you know, if you want to get going first, it really depends where you're coming from. If you don't have any products to begin with and you're desperate to make survival money, that first income stream online, I don't want you to go and write a $19 ebook, because you're probably going to struggle to make enough money from a $19 product. But it's something you should have longer term, because it's a great gateway to your higher price products. But you might start with, and this is what I advise, there's pretty much two things I advise everyone to do at the start. Obviously, blog and email list, that's a given. But the first thing I recommend people sell is actually private coaching, if they've never done kind of coaching before.
Yep.
You know, if you already spent your entire life doing consulting and coaching, you don't need to do this, because you know your audience, you've got that one-on-one experience. But if you haven't, that is so important. I actually did this myself when I said earlier how I rejigged my targeting. I was like, I need to make sure I'm not making this up. I'm actually hearing it from my audience. So I went out there and offered private coaching, and I did 20 sessions with 20 different people, all paid, to find out where they were at, what do they want to do, who they were, you know, what age groups were they, just speak to them. That's the most important thing. I was getting paid to do market research, and that helped define every product I created for the next 2 or 3 years. So I recommend that first. But then if you are comfortable with that, if you want to make survival money, or, you know, $5,000 a month, get up to that level, I actually recommend going straight to the good old-fashioned webinar where you actually sell it before you make it, if you know what I mean. So,
yep.
You know, three-week course, maybe three webinars plus a Q&A session. That's pretty popular. Sort of around the multiple hundred pricing point, $200, something like that. Not as big as the flagship course, because let's face it, that's a multiple month undertaking to build and launch and so on.
Sure, absolutely, yeah.
But not as small as an ebook or, you know, an under $50 product where you're just going to struggle to make a living from. So that kind of mid-range product, plus using that webinar format, you can go out there and say, I'm going to do webinars on this subject. Do you want to join me? If no one says yes, well, then you tweak your marketing before you go and make the product.
Yep.
But if they say yes and they buy from you and they pay you money, then you build it around them. So that's the starting point. Plus, of course, you've got to have an audience. So that's why you blog and grow your list.
You know, it's funny, when we were about to launch the Youpreneur community, I actually went on Periscope 2 or 3 times in the week prior to launching. And we talk about a community here. It could be a blog, it could be a live stream, it could be whatever. But I went on Periscope because I wanted immediate feedback, live feedback. And what we did is that we actually validated certain selling points, and literally, I read out word for word certain headlines and titles and subtitles that we were going to be using on the landing page for youpreneur.com to validate whether they would get enough feedback, enough hearts, enough comments, and things like that. And we actually removed several statements that were originally going to be on the page because they fell flat in front of an audience of 150-odd people on Periscope. So I'm all about that validation, but I love the pre-sale model. I truly do, because it saved me a lot of time in the past. I've pre-sold a couple of courses, you know, quietly to segments of my lists before, and they've fallen flat. And therefore, I just didn't bother creating them. What's the point of spinning my wheels?
Right.
Or you go back in one particular point where we had a personal branding course that I did, which is now very out of date. I need to either rip down the sales page. I'm not even going to bother mentioning it, but it's so far out of date. I need to rip down the sales page or rejig it completely. But we tweaked a lot of stuff based on the pre-sale that we did, and then launched it thereafter. It's a massive time and money saver. It really is. So to wrap up here then, I mean, obviously, you've been there, done that, made your money, been very, very successful with all this. Other than just building that hub and that community, what other piece of, or whatever one piece of advice would you give to people that are on the fence about getting to the next level of their personal brand? And that is obviously monetizing it. I think a lot of people listening in right here will have a decent community in place already, or at least a good quality community. It doesn't necessarily need to be huge, but maybe they're procrastinating a little bit on moving it to the next level and actually creating something to sell. They might be doing affiliate marketing and stuff like that, but we're talking actually creating something of your own and selling it. What advice would you give to them?
Well, you know, whenever I have a person who comes to me in that situation, my first question is, do you actually have a self-esteem issue? Because I know that sounds a little bit, you know, therapy kind of question, but often there's a fear behind going out there with a product, the fear of failure, the fear no one will buy it, the fear no one will value your work, and all those sorts of things. And you know, that has to be overcome. Every person who's ever sold anything online goes through that process. I did it with my first product. And one of the things I think is, well, I actually believe this is the single best way to solve that problem, is to eliminate your attachment to that outcome that's making you afraid. So you're afraid that no one will buy. Well, stop making sales the outcome that you use to gauge success. So I did that with my first launch. I was like, I'm going to treat this as a learning process. So even if I don't make any sales, I'll get that much closer to making sales. So I'll know what went right and what went wrong. It's a stepping stone. It's really, I think it's an absolutely critical component of mindset. And I think mindset is at the heart of success for all entrepreneurs. So, you know, attachment to a certain outcome that is so scary that it's stopping you from going after the outcome is insanity, right? So change the goal post to something accessible and achievable and makes sense. The process of learning, not the process of failing. So I think that's step one. And then step two, I would also ask, you know, are you actually here to be in business, or are you here to just have a community and talk to people? Because I do notice some people, they don't want to make money on some kind of subconscious level. They don't want to be the person who's, you know, creating sales pages and having to pitch products and asking for money. They just want to be the nice person, the good person who offers help and advice. And the question then to ask is, does that serve your goals in your life? And maybe it does. Maybe that's all you need because you're happy to stay in a job, or you're happy to live off your spouse's income. But most of the people I work with are not happy with that situation at all. So you have to move as fast as you can towards putting offers in front of people. So I actually kind of force a lot of my shy students, my students who are a bit afraid of this, and say, we're going to do nothing other than focus on you putting out a page with a buy button on it, because that's what you need to do. You need a buy button to make money. Yeah. So let's work on nothing else but the steps to get that buy button out into the world. And like I said, detach from the outcome, but give people the opportunity to give you money. And then when you make that first sale, oh my God, hallelujah, you know? It's
right.
Like this amazing moment where the sky parts and you realize that people actually value your work enough to actually put some money on the table, and you can ride that emotion really, really far. I think I'm still riding it, you know, from my first sale way back in the early 2000s.
I'm still doing it too. No, I mean, we're both blessed to be in the position where we make money online every single day of the week, literally. And every day I get excited about the fact that, you know, I wake up every day and I've made money as I've been sleeping. Like, we're blessed to be in this world, in this situation.
And, you know, I want to add to that too, because I recently, when I rejigged my business, I stopped selling stuff that I didn't like, or that, you know, I only sold my own content. And I noticed as I progressed as a blogger, I actually started to see myself as a writer. I never saw myself as a writer prior to blogging. And now I see myself entirely as a writer. I'm actually less entrepreneur now than I am writer, which is kind of scary on some level. But I realize that's what I enjoy, not as much building the business, but the writing. And so when you have someone who actually pays money for your words, that's incredibly fulfilling as a writer, as a creative person, not just for the financial making money while you sleep aspect, but for the validation that people value your creativity. So I think, you know, how many people on the planet right now want to be a creative artist and get paid for their work? And that's a rare outcome. And it's, I think for me, the most accessible way to get paid for your work today is through some kind of online content-based business. That's for me, it's kind of two sides. I guess I love the money. I love the fact that someone just bought my mindset book and I'm going to be able to change the way they think through my words. Yeah. That's really cool.
Yeah. No, I love it, man. And it's a great mentality to have. I think no matter what niche you're serving or audience you're creating stuff for, I think that's a great way to think about it. You have completely updated your blogging blueprint, blog profits blueprint, I must say, because we are all about making money here, obviously. There's nothing wrong with a little bit of capital every now and then. But you've not only just rewritten it and redesigned it and everything, but you've also created three brand new videos for this as well. Before we go, tell us a little bit about that, because I want to be able to literally hand this over to my audience.
Right. Well, you know, the first time I wrote this, it was 2007. I just spent 2 years growing my own blog to $10,000 a month. Everything was fresh in my mind. And I said, I'm going to put down in 1 month. I gave myself a sprint and a deadline, 30 days, write an entire free report, everything you did over the last 2 years to grow your blog to $10,000 a month. So I did that, released it, also taught my blog mastermind course a couple of months later. It went on to be downloaded over 150,000 times. And is every day I speak to someone and they say, in fact, every podcast I've ever done where I've interviewed someone who's blogged, they've said, I started, or at some point I was exposed to your blog profits blueprint. So that's, right, for me, it's still the most satisfying piece of content I've ever released. But it dated. So I was talking about, this is something I always laugh at. The social media tool I used to talk about as the number one tool was Dig. So think about that.
Right.
Do you remember Dig?
I vaguely remember it, vaguely. And I also vaguely remember Stumble Upon.
Well. They're still going.
Is it still, I mean, is it worth?
It's not huge, but it still drives traffic.
Right, okay.
Anyway,
okay.
So needless to say, the world changed. There was more tools. Yes. But more importantly, my philosophy and my focus changed. So just recently, I sat down and completely rewrote the blueprint from scratch. In fact, I completely rebuilt everything I've done. All my courses were taken offline several years ago. Everything I sell now has been completely built from scratch in the last few years. So, and it's designed now for people who want to sell their knowledge through a blog and an email list. So it's not about running a magazine. It's not about making money from advertising and affiliate products. It's really about, I've got some kind of expertise and I want to package that up and then use a blog to reach an audience and use an email list to make offers for my products and services and sell what I know and help people. So that's how it's been rewritten, and it's still 100% free. And I think it's, as I've been told many times, it's one of the best free resources. I still think it's probably the best ever report on blogging, but I'm biased.
A tad biased, but yes, with good cause behind it. I love it. Well, look, you guys listening in, you can grab a copy of that and access to the videos and all the rest of it that Yarrow has put together. Very, very special link. This is the first time in history at chrisducker.com where someone has had their own name as just a first name as a pretty link. And that is chrisducker.com/Yarrow, Y-A-R-O. How do you feel about that, Yara?
As I said earlier, before we recorded, Chris, it sounds so much better coming in a British accent. So, Yarrow, Y-A-R-O. Love it.
I just sound like the bloody speaking clock or something. You know what I mean? At the third stroke, the time sponsored. Okay. So, man, it's been great to have you on, mate. Really has. Well overdue, but I think it's also been good to kind of come at this point when you kind of renewed focus, renewed kind of vibe about everything that you're doing, why you're doing it, and more importantly, who you're doing it for. So I want to congratulate you for all the success and for continuing to lead the way. And I want to thank you for coming on the show, very much so.
Oh, well, thank you for having me, Chris. I was already a little bit, I don't know how to put this, I was blushing, but I was also very grateful for your reaction when we first met in person down in the Gold Coast in Australia the first time, at you and Pat Flynn. And, you know, you've got a big personality, but I didn't expect some of the things you said on stage about me. And I really was, you know, very honored about those things. And the internet, you know, internet years sometimes feel like dog and cat years, right? So right. I've been on since 1998, 99. And often people will kind of look at you as one of those gray beards. Oh, I used to read your blog back in like that. So I do appreciate the chance to talk to your audience about, you know, what's going on right now, because I still love it. And I think I personally love that blogs are still such a huge part of the internet. And I love to be able to talk about them. So thank you for having me on your show and getting to share more of what I love talking about.
Awesome, mate. Well, it was all our pleasure. Sincerely, it really was. For you guys tuning in, I want you to head over not only to chrisducker.com/Yarrow, but all of the links for resources and people and everything that we've mentioned in this show notes over at chrisducker.com/149. There's also a link there to Yarrow's Profit Blueprint download and the video, you know, course that he's put together for you and everything over there as well. So it's one more time, chrisducker.com/episode149, chrisducker.com/Yarrow. I will see you in another episode of Youpreneur FM next week. Until then, take good care, be kind to each other. And the next episode is with my good friend, Pat Flynn. So you look forward to that. He's back one more time. Till then, guys, take care. Bye for now.
If the idea of an entrepreneurial community where you get to learn from the best in the business, as well as rub shoulders, gain support, have access to immediate feedback, as well as nonstop accountability from your peers, is something that excites you, then visit youpreneur.com for more information and to get started on building a business you can truly be proud of today. That's youpreneur.com. We'll see you on the inside.